Thank you, Pastor Charette, for helping us with music tonight. Let's take our Bibles for one last time and turn to the book of Esther. Esther, and this will be the last time we're in here. We're going to do something just a little bit unusual tonight. I'd like if I could get a couple of guys to come and hand out some things. If you could do that, just a couple of you. Brother Andrew, okay, Brother Josh. Each person needs one of these little cards here. There's nothing on it now, but there will be by the end. So if you'll grab one of those, and we'll work through this here in just a moment. Esther chapter 4 and verse 14. This has been our theme over this study. It says, "For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place, but thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" It's interesting. We started this series back in April, and we've looked at a variety of subjects and kind of looked through the book topically. Though God's name is not mentioned in the book, as we said, His hands are all over it. And what I'd like for us to look at, if you remember, the central theme was God orchestrates timing and people for His purposes. Sometimes we get to be front row observers or participants, if you will, and sometimes we're in the dark, but we know He's working. In other words, sometimes we get to see up front, here's what God's doing. I can see His hand all in this. And then sometimes it's like, God, I don't know what you're doing. I know you're working. I can't see you on my left hand or my right hand, as Job said, but I know the way that I take. And God works that way. We have the privilege of reading the book of Esther already knowing the story. We know what's happening. And we read it with anticipation, but we already know how it turns out. They lived it and didn't know how it turned out. When Esther made her commitment to, if I perish, I perish, that was a very real possibility for her. And so what I'd like for us to do tonight is I'd like for us to go back, and we're going to, I don't know if we'll get through all of this, hopefully we will tonight, but I'd like us to go back and review what we learned, and we're going to talk about each point just quickly. And then I'll tell you what your little card's for. At the end of the night, I'd like for you to summarize specifically what God either taught or reminded you from the book of Esther and how that will continue to impact your life. Okay? I want you to just be able to put it into words what happens. All right? And then if you'd like to share it with us, that'd be great. And I think it's good habit for us to get used to writing down things in a concise way. So that's why I gave you those tonight. All right, so let's look at these. And we're not necessarily going in the order in which we did them, but we started, one of the things that we talked about was the law of sowing and reaping from the book of Esther. And our central truth was we must realize that we sow every day and we reap someday. We don't necessarily reap immediately, but we will reap. Okay, so let's talk from this story quickly tonight. What are some good examples from the book of Esther of the law of sowing and reaping? Just quickly give me some good examples from it. Pastor? Okay, Mordecai's protection of the king. Did he reap that immediately? Nope, but he eventually did, and boy, was it a reaping. Okay, Brother Dale? Okay, Esther knew who she could call on to pray and fast with her. Rebecca? Okay, that's a negative example of the law of sowing and reaping. So that was the next question, the bad example. So that's good. You must have read my notes already, right, Rebecca? So what are some bad examples? Haman's realized what was happening. Of course, he reaped what he sowed. For sure, he got hung on the gallows that he made. So, Brother Jim? Okay. Okay. So he took her in. Sure, he reaped enormously from that decision to take care of her. Great. Anyone else? Good or bad example from the book of Esther? Yes, Hannah? That's right. Yeah, they turned on him quickly, didn't they? Oh, by the way, there's a gallows out there. Go hang him on it. I mean, it's a pretty quick trial there, wasn't it? So the law of sowing and reaping, all right? We must realize that we sow every day and we will reap someday. The second thing, or not necessarily in order, but the second thing we'll look at tonight is we looked at leadership from the book of Esther. And we learned that we must realize that how you lead will impact you and those following you and maybe eternity, right? And we gave really four examples of leadership from the four central characters, if you will. But what are some examples of leadership from this story? You don't have to give me the exact words that we gave in the message, but what were some of those? How did the king lead, generally? Anybody? Yes. Okay, he was an emotional leader, all right? And that impacted him in a lot of ways. He made quick decisions without really thinking through it and all those kind of things, okay? Yes, Brother Jim? Okay, we talked about that as well, that leadership was motivated by pride in that area. How did Haman lead? By pride and other things there, selfishness. How did Mordecai lead? Sir? Okay, for his people. So it was an unselfish leadership. It was a principled leadership. No matter what happened, I'm going to lead the right way. We talked about Esther's leadership. What was unique about Esther's leadership? Anybody remember that? She wasn't necessarily a leader per se, but she was kind of pressed into leadership in the role that she ended up playing, not only as queen, but ultimately as the, if you will, the deliverer of her people. I mean, that process. So there's a variety of different types of leadership that we have in the book of Esther. The third area we looked at was we looked at emotions from the book of Esther. And we learned that the book is just chocked full of emotions, isn't it? We must never allow our emotions to rule our life. Now, someone's already mentioned that the king was an emotional leader, and it ruled the life. So what are some emotions from this story and how did they impact the story? You don't necessarily have to tell the whole story, but what were some of the emotions and how it impacted this story? Emotions from the story. Yes, sir. Okay, anger was one of those. And certainly it impacted the story in all kinds of ways, how he went about doing things. What else? Emotions. Yes, Kathy? Okay, love for his people. And we see that particularly at the end of the book, how he just cared for them and so forth. So, yes, ma'am. Okay, the hatred for the Jews. Remember, he didn't want to just get Mordecai. He wanted to destroy them all, every Jew, because of Mordecai. His hatred impacted the story. Yes, Brother Jim? Okay. Yep, absolutely. Well, we talked about the Bible says he went back with his head covered, and it would have been a great thing to watch, but not unless you were Haman, and it wouldn't have been. So, Brother Dale. Okay, good. Double-mindedness of his wife. Yes, John. Okay. So emotion of joy, and by the way, we see joy a number of times in that story in different ways. Some carnal joy, some genuine joy, and that, so hope. Yeah, perplexed. The whole palace was perplexed. Good, RJ. Yeah, okay, very good, very good. Then we looked, the fourth area we looked at was the area of appeal. You must realize that attitude and actions will impact an appeal, right? Who made an appeal to whom? Yes, Hannah? Esther to the king. That was one appeal. Who else made an appeal? Haman. Okay, he eventually appealed to Esther. That didn't go very well for him, but yeah, that's right. Yes. Okay, Mordecai appealed to Esther. Remember, that's where our text comes from. What if you're in the kingdom for such a time as this? That was an appeal to her to do what was right. So, yeah, Yes, Dale? Okay. Okay, great. The appeal in chapter 1 there. Yes, RJ? Okay, when the whole perplexity came, what was happening in the palace and so forth, excellent, okay? Then we talked about pride. We just finished that in the last couple of weeks. And we must recognize pride and its danger to avoid destruction. What are some ways that we see pride in this story? What are some ways that we specifically see pride in this story? Yes, John? Okay. So really, the very plot of the story is laid in pride. His pride's hurt, she would not come, and it just kind of set this whole thing in motion there. Good. What else? Pride. But Jim? Right. That's right. Yep, good. Some other specific examples of that. Dale? Okay. Okay. And that whole scenario kind of plays out there, and some people had some pride sticking up in there, right? Someone else? Yes, ma'am. Yeah, so he thought the king was talking about him. That pride just exuded there. Yes, Jason? That's what you were going to say, okay? Yeah. Haman is, we could talk a lot about Haman and his pride, couldn't we? All the things that, the way he talked to his family, all those things connected there with his pride, okay? Someone else? Pride in the story? We talked as well about, oh, yes, ma'am, go ahead. Did you? Okay, great point. So Mordecai could have demanded that he be recognized because he exposed the plot, but he never did that. And when it eventually came out, it was perfect timing for what he needed and what the children of Israel needed. Of course, that goes back to God's timing, isn't it? And that leads us to the sixth area we looked at, and that's the sovereignty of God. In every situation, we must trust that God knows what he is doing. We can say that, can't we? I hope you can at least say it. It's a lot harder to live it, isn't it? I mean, it just is. It's a lot harder to live it. Okay, God, you planned this. You knew exactly what you were doing. Okay. I can't see it. That's one of those dark times where it's like, what's happening in the process? Okay, how can we see God's sovereignty in this story? I want us to get specific here, all right? How can we see God's sovereignty in this story? Yes, sir. Okay. Okay, so Esther being the queen in the first place, God's sovereignty, he orchestrated all that was going to happen there. Great. Something else? Yes, ma'am. Okay, so Mordecai taking care of Esther, and which meant that her parents had died, and I'm sure there was questions surrounding that. We don't know all the story, but he took care of her, and that set a click, 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 click in motion of what God was eventually going to do. So, yes, RJ? Okay, so the when Esther was born and how the age that she needed to be, all of that in God's sovereign plan. Great, Jacob. Okay, yeah, Mordecai was even able to discover that plot and how God had him in that location and what it would mean eventually. So great, Nick, that was yours. Yes, Dale. Okay, so the passage he was reading, all these scrolls, and they pull that one, right? And it talks about what Mordecai did at the time when Haman was coming in. You're talking about God's timing. It's like, wow, just perfect there. So yeah, the scroll that he chose, the timing of it, all of that flows out. So yes, John. Good. Right. Yeah, so Mordecai's character, that would have been developed over many, many years. So, Pastor, do you have your hand up? It's right. It's true. It's like, those gallows were just perfect for when they were needed. Not exactly what they thought they were needed for, but yeah. Yes, ma'am. Okay, yep. Yeah. Esther's character, referring back to that other. Yes, RJ. Yeah. Okay, so we talked about how she planned a banquet, and then she made a request that they come to another banquet, and then the banquet comes, and that timing allowed the king not to sleep, who pulled the scroll, who honored Mordecai, who all of that is in this just absolute perfect timing of a wonderful God that we serve. So God's sovereignty. He's in every situation. We can trust him. He knows what he's doing, even when we do not know what we're doing. So yes, Brother Stan? Yeah. He wanted those gallows built awful quick. And we talked, what was it, last week or week before? They were 75 feet high. So this was quite a deal. Even if it was a fairly simple, quote unquote, gallows, I mean, to build something 75 feet high, take a little bit of structural work, wouldn't it, Brother Bob? Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I mean, if you had to build stairs or, I mean, whatever it was. Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, so all of that working as God was his plan, was working through that. Number seven was the importance of communication. Communication is one of the most important things you will ever do. You must get it right. You ought to remember the lessons on communication, because when we introduced that subject, I did a horrible job of it, right? Remember that? I couldn't even talk that night. It's kind of ironic how God does that. Speaking on communication tonight, and I can't communicate with you. God's sovereignty, right? So why was communication so important to this story? And I'd like you to give some details. Why was communication in all kinds of forms really important to this story? Love to get some people to answer that don't ever answer, but I don't know if I can twist your arm to do that. You're not one of those that don't ever answer, but go ahead, Brother Jim. Yes, go ahead. Okay. Mm-hmm. Right. What was important to him? Right. Okay. Good. That's one form of communication. Hope. Right. Right. Matter of fact, when it all starts happening, this Shushan's perplexed. She doesn't know why. She doesn't know why Mordecai's in there in sackcloth and so forth. The proclamation hadn't been read to her. Part of that communication. What else? Yes, sir, Bill Lewis. Okay. the language of the people that they would understand. So when they sent those proclamations out, it was in their native tongue, and then he dispersed them, and they did it with haste. Why? It was important. The message, the communication was important. All right? Excellent. Someone, but Mike? Right, so that decree that the people could actually protect themselves that Mordecai sent out, again, in the languages, important that it gets out there. That was a form of communication. What else? There's more communication in the story. Yes, sir, Jason. Okay, so he twisted those quote-unquote facts for his own pleasure, right? There's a people among you that they don't, basically the idea, none of them obey your laws, which was not true. Okay, that communication was deceptive and why it's important. But Dale? That's right. Yep, so what he was begging for his life, the king thought that he was trying to force the queen, and that basically sealed the deal in that process. Yeah, so we could see how communication. RJ, do you have something? Okay, yeah. You think about this too. Somebody had to record that Mordecai responded to the king. In other words, somebody, some secretary somewhere recorded it in the scrolls, and what if they hadn't? Then the king couldn't have read it. And you just think about all these little details that happened. Holly? Okay. So the advisors were afraid. Okay, Vashti does this. How is that going to communicate to the other women? Her actions then in that process could have communicated to them. So it's a huge deal, the value of communication, the importance of it. All right. Then we talked about courage. You must realize that all of us can have courage to do the impossible. All right? How did courage play out in this story? Yes, sir. Okay? Yep. Esther going in before the king. If I perish, I perish. And we talked about this a little bit. That was a very real possibility because some Bible scholars believe that Vashti wasn't just deposed from being queen, but she was actually killed because of what she did. We don't know that for sure. But if that's the case, boy, when Esther says, hey, if I make him mad, this is not going to be good for anybody, that was a true statement in the process. So, yeah, that took some courage. John? Okay. That's right. So Mordecai's courage to say, no, I'm not going to bow there in this circumstance. Incredible thing to happen there. Yes, Brother Stan? Right, so after he comes back and tells them the whole story, they basically say, this is not going to be good for you, which is thanks a lot for that encouragement, right? Oh, by the way, the queen would like you at the banquet now. He's like, so that took some courage to be able to do. I've thought about the courage that it took the Jewish people to actually fight. They had to do that. And defend themselves in that process, in which Mordecai gave them the rights to be able to do that.